Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I thought I'd kick off the show with Milk because she's going to be joining us in the second half of the show, and that was her song Wonder Wonder. Really excited to have her on, but I want to introduce my first guest. So my first guest has written a great book called Teen Depression Gone Viral: Why Kids Are More Vulnerable Than Ever and How You Can Protect Your Child's Happiness, Health and Happiness. The author is Dr. Meredith E. Gansner, and she's joining us right now from Boston. Good morning. Thanks so much for calling in.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
We had so much to talk about before I brought you on. You know, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I better introduce you. So thank you.
Always
for
a good thing.
In. It was so good. So, wow, I don't know where to start. So, like I said, this topic is very close to home for me as far as teen depression. And I'm also part of the field study initiative here, UCI, the School of Sociology. And so I talk to a lot of students about social anxiety, and they share how it's been really hard post-pandemic. So tell me what inspired you. When this book idea came about, was it before COVID, during COVID, after? What happened?
Yeah, the book idea actually probably, I guess, launched in my head anyway, right around when COVID happened. I think that one of the both good and bad things about being interested in social media use and problematic digital media use overall is that it is a topic that has not been studied in, you know, a huge swath of the literature aside from the last, you know, decade or so. And so for a while I had been feeling, I think, frustrated and seeing my patients using devices and their families really not having any concrete guidance about how to help their child with both their psychiatric illness and their symptoms, but also in kind of maintaining that social network and using these devices in a responsible way. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, and what I was seeing just absolutely exploded. I was on an inpatient unit working at the time, so I worked, you know, throughout the lockdown. And the number of patients that we saw prior to the lockdown who had, you know, coming into the hospital with some sort of issue related to being online, like bullying, or accessing content that they shouldn't have been, those sorts of events just seemed to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And we had so many patients coming in who were experiencing some pretty horrendous things that were happening online. And these poor parents were trying to hold down their job while also potentially helping multiple children through schooling throughout the day. And they were completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
And I realized, you know, at that point, even though we've had social media platforms now for so many years, the research really hasn't moved us in any sort of meaningful way towards concrete guidance for these families.
Yes.
And I wanted to write a book to provide a place, kind of a singular place where there could be some concrete guidance surrounding how digital media can influence so many aspects of a psychiatric illness, from the diagnosis to the treatment, and even to the parents' own understanding of the illness and how they interact with their child surrounding it. And so depression is one of those illnesses that obviously it's very, very common everywhere, and especially among youth. But then on top of it, it's also one of those illnesses that digital media can impact in so many different ways. And so
definitely,
that was how this topic of the book came to be.
Yes, such an important topic. And what's so interesting, and I mentioned this woman who's doing incredible work here locally, Nikki Riceberg, is on LinkedIn, and I'll share her information with you. But she features a lot of people all ages that were either victims of sextortion, blackmail, et cetera, or experts in the field that are talking about how, you know, there's no guidance parameters on any of the stuff. You give your kid a phone. I was just having a conversation, someone saying, I'm debating on giving my middle schooler a phone. And I said, want to hear my advice? She said, sure, don't. Don't, because of, you know, that's the Wild West, and you talk about depression, you know, that kid could be depressed and you don't know why, but the root of it is they're being blackmailed.
Yeah, yeah, and so many children, I've patients myself who will be online, they may be on a platform that they're not supposed to be using, a parent will understandably say, no, like, you can't use this anymore. You know, you're not allowed to be on XY platform or use a device. But of course, the child then will find the device or find access to the platform. And I've had teens who've been being blackmailed for long periods of time, but they feel like they can't tell anyone because then they'll get into trouble with their parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a horrible place for both parents and child to be in.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So let's dive in. Your book is divided into various sections. Let's talk about causes and factors, because I really like how, for instance, there are medical conditions that you point out can cause symptoms of depression.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so most psychiatrists and mental health professionals will try to get a sense of underlying kind of more medical symptoms, although I do want to be careful to note that I do believe depression and other mental illnesses should be considered medical illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we traditionally think of, you know, illnesses of the body and rather than of the mind. And so there are illnesses that are more traditionally known to be kind of related to the body, like thyroid conditions, for example. And when one's thyroid isn't working as it should, and that's a gland in our body, it can also produce symptoms that look like depression. And I think, you know, one of the things I always want to emphasize with families and with patients is that, you know, your brain, I think this in the book, your brain is attached to your body, right? Your head is attached to your body.
Sure.
And so if you are experiencing psychiatric illness or medical illness, it stands to reason that it could impact the entire body. There isn't usually some magical force field that absolutely divides the two. I mean, the brain is fairly protected, but it's all part of one system.
Right. What's so interesting, I noticed one of the medical conditions is vitamin D deficiency, and I was thinking, okay, in the pandemic, how many people, like, stayed in most of the time, maybe never really went out for walks initially?
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the correlation there?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have a great sense yet of vitamin D, at least in kids, being kind of the sole causal factor in depression and causing depression. But I think you're absolutely right in that there are probably so many different factors that combine to produce a depressive episode, and lack of sunlight exposure, lack of exercise, poor sleep habits, and then the psychosocial stressors, of course, of being in a pandemic and having no social supports or your social network decreased, all those things did create sort of a perfect storm, and it's understandable yeah. in that sense how depressive episodes would have spiked during the pandemic.
And you and I had talked about this. I had done some writing and some research and spoken to people. I love qualitative research. I mentioned I went to BU. And I felt that what I was hearing was that, you know, people were already struggling before the pandemic, and then COVID made it worse.
Yeah. No, it absolutely did. We know that rates of depression in teens and, unfortunately, rates of suicidality have been rising even before the pandemic. But once the pandemic hit, there was definitely a kind of noted peak, and then certainly in terms of teens coming in psychiatric crisis, there was kind of a lull initially right when the lockdown happened, and there was very little movement in and out of inpatient units. But then as things started to open back up again, it really became clear just how much of a detriment the pandemic was to the mental health of the teens in our area and
yeah.
around the country and world.
So at what point, because I know you mentioned, you know, when you had this idea for this book, but did you find, you know, you were probably gathering all this information before you actually started writing, like through observation and patients. At what point did you have a clear vision of the direction for this book? Was it post-pandemic?
It was after the pandemic. I think, as I said, for years I've been trying to figure out how I could be more helpful to the patients that I see and their families and regarding this area. And I have been, admittedly, I think, frustrated by the research that comes out. And I will get on a little bit of a soapbox. I apologize. I mean, the research in this area is fantastic, but it so often focuses on kind of the general population of teens and not really the most vulnerable. And
mm-hmm.
so there has been a lot of debate back and forth of, like, okay, you know, is depression really caused only by social media use? And is that, you know, causal? Is it bidirectional? And and again trying to prove this relationship when the patients that we're seeing, kids who have significant psychiatric symptoms, kids who have depression, what the parents need to know is, you know, how they can protect their child from seeing content about suicide online, and yet we don't have any guidelines about that, and there's no, you know, concrete protocol to follow, and certainly none that has, you know, been tested and to say, okay, this actually is beneficial and helps. And so I realized, you know, this is hopefully an area where I can collect more research evidence, but also empower parents to know that they too need to speak up about how we need to do better as scientists, as clinicians, as researchers, as politicians. We need to do better to fund this research and to do studies where it really matters to help these families, because we are woefully behind where we need to be.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I just want to interject for a second for listeners who are just tuning in. I'm speaking with Dr. Meredith E. Gansner, who is an attending child psychiatrist at Boston Children's Hospital and instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Her award-winning research focuses on adolescent mental health and problematic digital media use. Dr. Gansner lives in Boston with her husband and two children, and she's written this great book, Teen Depression Gone Viral, Why Kids Are More Vulnerable Than Ever and How You Can Protect Your Child's Health and Happiness. I wanted to share something with you. I have done a variety of speaking engagements, and I remember one time bringing this section of the New York Times that came out in the pandemic about how women in particular were really impacted by the pandemic. So if you were already struggling in a variety of ways, the pandemic was worse. So when you think about teen depression, it's not just social media. It's maybe your parents are struggling as a couple, or someone has passed away, or they've split up. I mean, a lot of people imploded by being under the same roof in the pandemic.
Of course. I mean, we're putting families who are already significantly stressed under even more stress, and then taking away all the social networks that they normally would have had access to. It was absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, so many of the agencies here in the Boston area, you know, weren't taking new patients. We had, you know, in-home services that would typically come in, and they weren't able to come into people's homes. And so everything just dismantled all the exact time. And so I think there probably weren't many people who had improved mental health during that time, for sure.
Absolutely. So what else would you like us to know about your book?
I think one of the biggest things that I want people to know about my book, in addition to kind of my soapbox of saying, you know, we need to do better at researching this topic, is that the internet and social media platforms, I think, for parents have created a kind of like veil of certainty surrounding, you know, absolutely, this is the right course of action, and this is the way that you should solve this problem with your child. And I noticed this kind of explode even more after the pandemic, with a lot of very well-meaning influencers and sometimes even, you know, clinicians going out on social media and advising parents on how they can better help their child through various issues, and sometimes, you know, psychiatric issues. And sometimes that advice is conflicting. It entirely contradicts itself.
Sure.
And sometimes it was just absolutely overwhelming. And I think that we don't do enough to help parents recognize that they probably are feeling quite overwhelmed themselves, right? And they, as you said, also struggled during the depression, or sorry, during the pandemic with depression or other psychiatric illnesses. Right, the former Surgeon General posted an advisory even about parental mental health. That is how much parents are struggling in addition to their children. And I think part of that really is because parents feel like they have so much information about how to help their children but don't know where to start, and people are telling them that one thing is the answer, but other people are telling them something separate is the answer.
Right.
And that's just not accurate. We know that social media platforms and media in general, they basically get eyes and they get viewers and clicks with really clear-cut headlines that are sometimes alarming. And, you know, that can scare parents into thinking that there is exactly one way to do things, or there's exactly one cause for their child's depression. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Depression is an incredibly complicated illness. Most psychiatric illnesses are incredibly complicated and have multiple factors that kind of bring them into existence.
Yes.
And so parents, in reading my book, I'm hoping that they can recognize just how complicated this is, both just their child having a psychiatric illness and then also living in this culture or society where you are being bombarded with all these different strings of information, and knowing how on earth you can trust one source from another. It's so difficult for families and kids out there.
Yes.
And so I hope that parents reading my book can recognize that, you know, there isn't a one-size-fits-all answer, and that, you know, they're not failing their child if they do one specific thing a certain way. You know, it's so much more complicated than that. It's
yes.
not their fault if their
yeah.
child is depressed, right?
And so. Absolutely. I feel like there's such dimension to when your child is depressed, because you don't know why. There's so many factors. So here's a question for you. Let's say you see that your child is no longer really communicating. You're seeing these nonverbal behaviors. They're spending most of their time in their room. They're just a kind of a shell of a person that you mm-hmm. once knew. Like, how do you, and they don't want to talk to you. It, no matter what you do, you try to get them to open up, spend time with you. They don't want you. What advice would you give a parent?
Yeah, that's tough, and unfortunately it predates the pandemic, too. My kids
yeah.
just cutting parents off and isolating. In those situations, I think, again, parents need to first take a deep breath and recognize that, you know, they trust their gut here. I think parents have a tendency to sometimes minimize. I guess it goes to one of two extremes. There are parents that certainly might become incredibly alarmed right off the bat, but then there are also parents who will say, okay, well, teenagers are typically more irritable and aren't going to want to talk to me. And so maybe this is just part of them being a normal teenager. Even when their gut is telling them, like, no, something is very wrong, right?
Sure.
Like, the person you knew is not the same person. And that's not, you know, yes, teenagers can be extreme and say some pretty out there things when they're teenagers, or even do some pretty out there things when they're teenagers. But the child that you know knew before shouldn't transform to the point where you don't even know them anymore. I mean, that is not a typical part of adolescence. And so parents' gut, I think, is, I know that's very unscientific, but honestly,
right.
you know, you parents know their children better than anyone else could hope to oftentimes.
Yes, yes.
And so recognizing that, you know, it's, if you feel something is wrong, it's important that you reach out for support and figuring out exactly what that is. Then, you know, it may not be depression. It may be something else. But it's imperative that they feel like they're not in this alone, and that, you
mm-hmm.
know, they can reach out to others and try to figure out what is going on. And especially, you know, if they don't blame themselves for what they might perceive as causing their child's illness, then I think it's even easier to reach out to others.
Yes.
And that is crucial, because I see so many family units where tensions are just so high between
mm-hmm.
a parent and child, because they've been trying to get through this as just, you know, sometimes as just a few, like the trio, or, you know, a dyad, sometimes it's just one parent, one child, and they've
mm-hmm.
been really just in the thick of it, and all day, every day, it's like the parent is pulling that child out of bed, and the child is yelling at their parent, or the parent's taking away the phone, and the child is screaming and wanting it back, and
sure.
that is such a hard place for parents to be in, and
yeah.
unfortunately, you know, it's that can happen when a child is depressed, but it's so much easier if you're not trying to do that completely, you know, alone, without supports, whether they're other parents who have children who are also suffering from depression, or mental health clinicians for your child or for
mm-hmm.
you, just some support.
And thank you for that. I will say this. So I'm a member of NAMI, the
mm-hmm.
National Alliance of Mental Illness, and they have great resources. One thing that worked for me in the pandemic was actually talking to a therapist myself, because I felt like I didn't know how to handle what was going on under my own roof. And it actually created a better relationship and with my people, my family, and Because I feel like a lot of times as parents, like, you might have your own stuff you have to work on, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make you a better
communicator.
Yeah,
I don't know any parent that doesn't have their own stuff to work
on. No, we have a lot of stuff, yes.
But we need to normalize that. We need to say it's okay that you have your own stuff to work on.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's just part of what makes a person human.
Definitely. I would say it was one of the best decisions as a parent for me to do that, because it made me realize that you can't really throw solutions at your kid. You should be more of a listener. And they don't want to feel negated, you
mm-hmm.
know, when they share
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Exactly.
And also, if they don't want to talk to you, suggest they want to talk to someone else that they feel comfortable with, and don't take it personally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Parents are always a strong source of support, or ideally would be, for their kids, but they aren't necessarily, you know, that person that the child wants to express their ultimate vulnerabilities with. I mean, that's a tough thing. And I think parents don't realize sometimes how much a child is actually trying to protect them and not telling them about how they're feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be, you know, a reason parents will say, like, oh, well, I'm so hurt. Like, why wouldn't they trust me? But it can maybe be less about trust and more about you are, you know, for so long you've been the most important person or people in the lives of this child. And it can be incredibly scary to tell them that, you know, you don't want to be alive anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And just because your kid might be like a 4.4 GPA doesn't mean their mental health is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another big misconception. There are a lot of families will say, oh, well, my child is still doing amazingly in school, or, you know, they're still happy when they're with their friends. And yes, there are times when, if you look at the, you know, constellation of symptoms as a whole, you might say, okay, maybe this, you know, isn't depression, this is something else. But certainly there are teens who do have depressive disorders who can be doing well in school and can be suffering from significant symptoms of hopelessness or feeling like they're not worth anything at all, even if they're, you know, putting on a brave face and smiling around their friends.
Right, exactly. So we have to wrap up. Where can people find out more about you and your book?
I have a website, www.meredithgansner.md.com. It both puts some information out there about my book and how to get a hold of it, as well as information about a lot of the research studies that I'm doing, and hopefully giving people a better idea about how we can support our teens and parents in this time of, social media drama and
mm-hmm.
I think mental health issues that it continues from the pandemic.
Definitely. Thank you so much for calling in. I've really enjoyed this.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
And congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That was Dr. Meredith E. Gansner, and she's written this great book, Teen Depression Gone Viral. If you missed any part of this conversation, it'll be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. If I might not have mentioned at the top of the hour, all the information about my show guests and actually every show I've ever done is on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can head over to kuci.org and see our incredible eclectic mix of shows, public affairs, music shows. And we are on 24/7. And you can also visit our socials at KUCI FM. We're going to take a little break. And then when I come back, I have the artist Milk joining us. And she has a new album out. And I'm really excited. I've been featuring some of the songs. New album is called Mother Tongue. All the information about her very personal debut album, Mother Tongue, celebrating this album. And there was a launch party last week. I wish I could have made it at the Hotel Cafe. All that is on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. We'll be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.